In early May 1967, 300 miles downstream from St. Louis, the citizens of Memphis stood along the cobblestone banks, enjoying the musky coolness of the river. 75,000 people, dressed to be seen, waited in the twilight. They come from all the secret crews, from the Mystic Society of the Memphi, from Osiris and Ramet and Sphinx. They'd come from all the clubs: Chickasaw, University, Colonial, Hunt and Polo, the Memphis Country Club, and from the garden societies, the good families, the old families, in their finest James Davis clothes, bourbon flasks in hand, assembled for the start of the South's greatest party. The brown Mississippi, wide with northern snowmelt, was a confusion of cross-currents and boils. In the main channel, whole trees could be seen shooting downstream. A mile across the river lay the floodplain of Arkansas, a world of chiggers and alligator gars and water moccasins that lived in swampy oxbow lakes. On the long sandbars, feral pigs ran among graveyards of driftwood and rotten cypress stumps. But in the clearings, beyond these wild margins, were hundreds and hundreds of miles of cotton fields. Cotton as far as the eye could see, row after perfect row. Gossypium hirsutum, white gold, mined from the world's richest alluvium. Memphis was built on the spot where the Spanish explorer Hernando de Soto, in 1541, became the first European to lay eyes on the Mississippi River. The city was founded 278 years later by Andrew Jackson and a group of his investor cronies, and named for the ancient Egyptian capital near the Giza pyramids. Memphis didn't really take off, however, until the dense hardwood forests along the river began to be cleared in the mid-19th century, finally making farmable the flat, rich floodplain known as the Mississippi Delta. As the country slid toward civil war, Memphis became the capital of a region that was constructing a last frenzied iteration of Southern planter society. If the Delta came late to cotton, it came to it with a vengeance and with all the defiant desperation of someone following a wounded creed. Cotton had grown along the Nile, near the original Memphis, and cotton was what modern Memphis had come to celebrate on this fine, humid evening of May 10th, 1967. In the fields of Arkansas and down in nearby Mississippi, the little darlings had already begun to push up through the dirt. The crop dusters were preparing to rain down their chemicals, and the old true cycle was in the offing. Now it was time for Memphians to pay homage and to bless another season in cotton's splendid realm. The 33rd annual Cotton Carnival, Memphis's answer to Mardi Gras, was about to begin. Later in the week, there would be luncheons and trade shows, charity balls. A beauty contest would declare the fairest maid of cotton. Many thousands would visit the giant midway and attend parades with elaborate floats, some of them spun from cotton, depicting the gone but not forgotten Old South and the treachery of the long-snouted boll weevil. All week there would be parties on the rooftop of the Peabody Hotel, where mallard ducks lived in a scaled-down mansion when they weren't marching down a red carpet to splash around in the lobby fountain. Tonight was the high pageant that kicked off the whole week, the majestic arrival of the king and queen sitting upon their thrones with their sequined court all around them on a great glittery barge that was scheduled to nudge into the Memphis harbor shortly after sunset. It was a celebration not only of cotton, but also of the peculiarly settled life that thrived on it. The life of dove hunts and pig roasts and debutante balls, the genteel agrarian world that could still be found in the fertile realms surrounding Memphis. Cotton, cotton everywhere. Crane operators, hoisting dozens of 500-pound cotton bales, had constructed colossal arches that spanned the downtown streets. All attendees were urged to wear cotton, and they did. Party girls in crinoline dresses, dandies in seersucker suits, children in starched Oxford cloth. People even ate cotton candy while they waited with the crowds for the royal barge to arrive.